to the God above, the God who sent his Son to die, that I might live with him on high. Oh, how I praise the Lord today for teaching mother how to pray. Lord, bless this mother who has prayed so much for me.
Thank you, ladies. Let's stand together and turn your Bibles to Luke. Stand together. I'm sorry, we turned the lights off. We thought there was supposed to be they were going to show some slides, but that's our mistake. Luke chapter 15. We're going to get done a couple minutes early since we have the baby dedication, so I'll speak quick. I'll talk fast this morning, and you listen fast, okay? How many of you can listen fast? All right, ladies, how many of you can talk fast? Okay, good. There you go. Get a lady that can talk fast, hook her up with a guy that can listen fast, and you have a good relationship there. Okay, Luke chapter 15, we'll start at verse 11. We've been looking at the story of the prodigal son. We've looked at it for many aspects over the last few weeks. By the way, can we turn this off? That light's right in my eye. Appreciate that. We're going to look at the father today, the father. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. By the way, does that sound like your kids? Give me. Two phrases I cannot stand to hear from a child. Give me, and that's not fair. Those are outlawed. Okay, when they go, oh, that's not fair. Life isn't fair. Be quiet, all right? Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh unto his father, into the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed a fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should be merry and be glad, but for this thy brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the time we have this morning. We thank you for this story, Lord. There's just so much in here that applies to life. And I pray, Lord, as we look at the Father this morning in the brief time we have, that you would teach us a few lessons that would help us to be better spiritual sons and daughters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've looked at this story. We've looked so far at the two brothers. Both of them had good aspects, and both of them had bad aspects. Of course, we looked first at the prodigal. He made bad decisions because he was selfish. We saw what happened. He also saw that the good part was he had enough common sense that when things turned and went bad, he was able to come to himself and put it together and come back to his father. Then last couple weeks, we looked at the brother who gets slammed a lot, and he should, but he did have some good parts. He was a faithful son. He was unlike his younger brother in that he made right decisions, he was responsible, and had a character and all those things. The bad part we looked at last week is he did have a bad attitude about his brother coming home. We learned much. This week, we're going to look at the only one that had just good attributes. That's the father. He was there for both of the brothers. He had to deal with his children who did both right and wrong from different angles. Isn't that how it is as a parent? Your children are all different, have different characteristics. You have to treat them and deal with them on different levels. Both caused him grief and joy, but from different angles. But yet the father was able to relate to both of the sons. If we look at the father, we can learn some principles about how we relate to our Heavenly Father and how He relates to us. Because as Christians, our Heavenly Father is always good. He's always good. And too often we treat our Heavenly Father the way these sons treated their earthly father. So what is it about our father, and what can we learn about how we should relate to him and how he relates to us? Let me give you several principles this morning. I want to mention number one, that the father's riches were abused. The father's riches were abused. Verse 12 and 13 tells us that the younger son came and said, I want my inheritance and I want it right now. And the father very graciously, by the way it worked, the father did not have to give the inheritance to the children until really he passed on, but it was up to him. It was his choice. It was his prerogative. And he chose to go ahead and give it to his younger son earlier. And so the son is blessed with the inheritance or the riches that were given to him by his father, and yet he used them the wrong way. He abused them. He took off with them. He looked at his father the wrong way, and he took the riches he should have appreciated them and instead used them for righteous living. He thought the riches could be demanded at his own will. He thought that he didn't see it as something gracious from God. He saw it as something that he could demand and that God owed to him at his request. By the way, that's not the way it works. And then when he did get what he wanted from his father, he walked away. Now, before we get on the prodigal and hammer him a little bit too harshly, don't we do that with God's riches? We don't realize that we are rich in Jesus Christ if we know him as our Savior. Ephesians tells us, blessed, in chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen in us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, never forget this. God's grace and his riches towards us always come with a responsibility. With the responsibility. We too often, those of us who are Christians, we see God as nothing more than a heavenly Santa Claus. We think that he's there for our beckon and call. We can just go to him whenever we need something, but yet we so often take that which he gives us and we use it wrongly, or we go do our own thing thinking we'll just come and call back and God's got to give us more of what we need. Fact of the matter is, we ought to focus more on being a good child. But all we focus on is we put it to God like, no, you have to be a good father, and we don't feel we have any responsibility back to him. How many have come to God and received his blessing and through salvation only to walk away from him and pursue what they want? It has happened many times over the years where someone will come into the church and they'll get to know the Lord and they come in and they had maybe a rough background or there's some things in their life that weren't going very well. And they come in and they get saved and God starts working in their life and God changes them. They become stable. And God, and then you know what they do? As soon as they do, they turn around like, I don't need God anymore. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to walk away from God and I don't need him anymore. Thank you for cleaning me up. Thank you for getting me to this point, but I don't need you. I'm going to go do my own thing. Let me just explain something. If you came out of the pig pen just because you're cleaned up doesn't mean you don't need God. You still need God. See, we think that the only people that are messed up are the ones that are out on drugs or out in theirs, and they got all these this garbage going on in their life. Let me just tell you something. Some of the most miserable people are people that are clean and have good bank accounts, but they've turned their back on God. Let's not abuse God's riches. They walk away and do their own thing. Let me ask you this. Are we abusing God's inheritance? See, we want the eternal life that salvation brings, but we don't want the changed life that God wants to give us. We want God's blessings in our life, but we don't want to be faithful to him. We want God to love us, and we want to experience God's love, but without obeying God's word. We want a relationship with God as long as it's on my terms, and it doesn't interfere with what I want to do with my life. By the way, this isn't stewardship month, but we talk about stewardship every summer. And really, stewardship is just realizing that everything that's in our life, everything we have, whether it's our resources, whether it's our time, whether it's our children, it's all a gift from God to us, and we are responsible to use it the way God wants us to use it. So how can I tell if I'm a good steward? How can I tell if I'm abusing God's inheritance? Let me ask you this. If deep down inside, who's really in charge of your life? Ask that question. Now, I know all of us, no matter how much we try to give God control of our life, every now and then we kind of slip over the line, kind of like grab that area for ourselves. You know what I'm talking about? But I'm talking about on just a regular basis. When you make decisions, when things come up in your life, what am I going to do? Do you stop and think, what would God want me to do? Or is that just an afterthought? Here's what I want to do. Who really owns everything that you have? It's a story we've heard, like I heard before. A man took his daughter out to McDonald's and he bought her some French fries, and like the kid's sitting there eating the French fries, and the dad didn't order any for himself, and he's like, "Man, I think those look good. I think I want a couple." And he's like, "Sweetheart, can I have a couple fries?" And she's like, "No, those are mine." He's thinking, "You little brat, I bought those for you. I bought those for you, and you won't even give me any?" Isn't that how we are with God? God gives us all these blessings, and then he asks us, and we're like, "No, God, no. Are we abusing God's grace or riches? Number two, the Father's grace was eventually remembered. In verse 17, it says, "And when he came to himself," speaking of the prodigal, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to eat and spare, and I perish with hunger." Isn't that something? Here's this prodigal in a tough time in his life, and he sits there, and you know what he remembers about his dad? How good his dad was. Here he was. He had wasted everything his father had given to him. He's sitting in a pig pen feeding pigs, which for a Jew at that time, an Orthodox Jew, is like anathema. They're not supposed to be around pigs. He's starving to death, and as he's sitting there watching the pigs who are eating better than he's eating, he's thinking, my dad has people who work for him who eat better than this. I mean, my father takes care of just his higher servants better that I'm being taken care of out here in the pig pen. And he thought, man, my father's good. I need to go back. By the way, let me say this. Maybe you are struggling in your life right now. Maybe there's some areas you've kind of stepped away from God. Can I just tell you something? God is still good. God is still there. Why don't you come back? But I'll tell you this. Maybe you're not in the pig pen. My admonition to you is, why don't we remember God's grace right now? Hey, let's not go to the pig. It would have been nice of him to realize how good his father was before he ever stepped out of the house. Yeah. See, isn't that how we are? We focus on the wrong things, and Satan is so good at getting us to just think about the wrong things. Hey, God is good all the time. Oh, what about this or what about that? Hey, God is good all the time. The best life you can live is the life serving God. That's the best life you can live. You say, but what if I go out and I make $300 million? Hey, serve God and help us get the building finished, okay? Just make sure you tithe. We'll get that building done. It's all good. But I'll just tell you something. If you think that the $300 million would make you happy, no, it wouldn't. The only thing that's going to make you happy, whether you make $3, $30, $300, or $300 million, is God in my life? Hey, let's remember how good our God is. Do you know God is faithful even when we aren't? 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know, even when we struggle sometimes, I know God, he said he'd take care of me, but I just feel right now with everything going on in my life, I just don't feel that's true. Hey, the fact that you feel it's not true doesn't change the fact that God is still faithful. Let's just get through it. Boy, our God's gracious. Now, what do you say? I've stumbled. You know what? A just man falleth seven times and what? Riseth up again. God is always there. Let's not forget his grace. Amen. Our Father is very, very, very gracious. Now, let me be negative for 2 minutes and we'll get back on the positive, okay? Now, let me say this about God's grace. It's always there. And I love the verse because we all stumble at sometimes. But, you know, I've known people over the years, they'll stumble, they'll go out, do their own thing, they'll come back, they'll go out, they'll come back, they'll go out, they'll come back. I'm glad you come back every single time. But if we're not careful when we come back, God's still there, it's still the best life you could ever live, but there's usually less to come back to. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to be negative here. They had a big party, the son comes home, it's all good, you're not a hired servant, you know. This guy had a big speech prepared. I'll go home and tell my dad, you know, here's point one. I don't deserve to be a son. Point two, just make me like a hired servant and hire me. Point three, I'll live out in the house with the... And he didn't even get to go through the speech. The father just interrupted and said, my son's home. But let me just say this. The next day after the party was over, he had to get up and go to work just like everybody else. And by the way, his inheritance was still gone. It's still gone. Whenever we step away and come back, it's the best thing we can do, but let's be careful that we don't make that a lifestyle because those scars are still there. That's why I said the best thing we can do is remember God's grace right now. Number three, the Father's emotions were exposed. The Father's emotions were exposed. Verse 24. Speaking of when his son came back, he goes, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. What's the father saying? What was the greatest thing about the son coming home? The relationship with the father was restored. He said, he was lost. I didn't have a son. But now he's found. He was dead to me. But now, he's alive. Yep. You see, Christianity is about a relationship with God. You see, what happened to us, we were sinners. And because we sinned, that relationship with God was severed. And so when we trust Christ, our sin is forgiven. And now, we can have that son, that father-son relationship with God. Or, if you're a lady, daughter-father relationship with God. And that's what God desires for us. He wants to be close to us. He wants to have that relationship. But yet when we are away from him, to be honest with you, he misses us. God wants to be close to us. God wants us to be there for him. And his emotions here were exposed. He was glad that, hey, I'm not upset. By the way, we could have handled it. If I was a father, I would have been tempted to say, well, well, well. Look what the cat drug in. How'd that plan work out for you? Hey, you got a couple dollars I can borrow? No. Those are all things I'd have been tempted to say. Like, hey, your plan and my plan. No, you know what he said? I'm glad you're back. Man, I didn't have a son. He was lost, but he's found again. I mean, really, he was dead, but you're alive now. God wants to have a relationship with you. You see, the son's actions did not take into account how it would affect his father. By the way, none of us live in a vacuum. All of our actions affect not just us. See, we don't realize that the things we do, it's not just about our life and us. As we get older and we have more relationships, it affects other people. If you're married and you go out and you're doing some ridiculous things, that's going to affect the life of your spouse. If you're a parent and you're an adult and you're going out and you're living this selfish life or getting involved in some things, that's going to affect your children. We don't just live for ourselves. But more important to that, as Christians, how we live affects our relationship with God. Boy, and God wants to be right there with us. It's like the story of David and Bathsheba. About several months ago on Sunday night, we talked about this. The worst thing about when we do wrong. In our Sunday school class, we started to look at the story of David and Bathsheba. And in 2 Samuel chapter 11, it tells the whole story. And David should have been to war, and he didn't go to war. He's sitting back at home, and he's watching this lady taking a bath on the roof. I don't know why in the world he's staring at her. And then he sends down, hey, who is this lady? By the way, he was married. He should have never checked on her. And then it's like, well, why doesn't she just come up and we'll chat? And then she's in the room, and then they commit this immoral act. And then she ends up getting pregnant, and David's like, man, this doesn't look good. So I'll bring her husband back from war, and then he'll go be with his wife, and they'll think it's his kid. That's how warped people's thinking gets. And Uriah comes back, and he won't go near his wife. He goes, man, all my buddies are at war. I'm not going to go touch my wife. And so he goes back to war, and David's like, man, what am I going to do? I'm going to get found out. And then he has Uriah killed. And so this whole story in the chapter, and you're like, where's God? The last phrase of the chapter. But the thing that David done had displeased the Lord. There you go. God chipped in. He got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He got 10 words. The whole chapter is about David and all the nonsense going on in his life and all the scheming and all the doing his own thing and covering up his sin. And then God says, by the way, what you did, it displeased me. That's the most important phrase in that whole chapter. By the way, David's sin affected him. It affected his family. It affected the child that would be born that would eventually die. It affected his children who later on, they went off and did some nonsense. It affected a bunch of people. But we just think like, well, but most importantly, it affected God. God wants to have a close relationship. Number four, we must hurry. The father's desire was accomplished. I want you to get this. Verse 21, but the father said to his servants, when the son comes home, he goes, you know, the little speech we went through, and the father, I don't have anything to do with the speech. I'm so glad you're back. And then he's like, party is on. The father said to the servant, hey, go get the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you're not just a hired servant. We're going to dress you up. You are still my son. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He goes, hey, I'm not worthy to be called your son. The father says, enough of that. He goes, hey, bring thither the fatted calf. You know what that means? Food. Okay, food. It's getting late. It's getting close to lunch. Let's not talk about that. But he said, hey, put the food on. We're having a barbecue. We're having a party. Kill it and let us eat. I'm sorry if you're a vegetarian, but it's in the Bible. Let's just go with it, all right? If God didn't want us to eat animals, they would not be made out of meat, all right? That's why we eat them. Let us eat and be merry. That was God's desire for his son all along. God's desire was his son to have joy. That's what he wanted. Listen, don't buy. Some people think, if I'm a Christian, I have to be miserable. Listen, if you're a Christian and you're miserable, stay away from me. I don't want to be miserable. Well, you know, brother, this life stinks, but I'm just serving Jesus. Hey, go stink somewhere else or take a shower. Right? This life doesn't have to stink. God desires joy for us. Don't think that's Satan's lie. Like, nope, servant, if you serve God, it's horrible. It's the worst thing you'll ever do. No, it isn't. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have the good time in the Lord. See, the lie is joy comes from doing that which is apart from God. There is no joy in that. Now, there is pleasure that the Bible talks about when we do our own thing. There's pleasure for sin in a season, but there's consequences. Amen. There's no consequences when we serve God except for good consequences. Amen. You read through the Bible. He wants us to have joy. Think about it. God knows what's best for us. He wants what's best for us. Therefore, he'll give what is best for us. See, sometimes young people, it's like, man, you know, what if God wants me to serve him full time? I'll be miserable. Listen, God is going to put you exactly where he knows is best for you. And if we follow God's path in our life, we'll be exactly where God wants us to be. That's the place to be. Joy. God wants us to be joyful. Let me say this. If you're a Christian and you don't have joy in your life, that's God's way of telling you something's wrong. Something is wrong. What do I need to do to get lined up with God so the joy will flow? Now, that doesn't mean we still don't have problems. I understand that. That doesn't mean that things come into our life that are outside of our Christianity, problems that bring sorrow in our life. But even in sorrow, we have joy because we know the Lord. How's your life today? Say, man, I've been doing my own thing. Let me ask you a question. How's that working for you? I don't have to know you. I just have to know the Bible. And the Bible tells when we do our own thing, we lack purpose in life, and we lack that full joy knowing that we know the Lord, and he's given us what is best for us. The last thing is this. The Father's position was restored. The Father's position was restored. What do I mean by that? You know, God is always our Father, and biologically, the prodigal's dad was always his father. But just because someone is a father in title doesn't mean we allow them to have that title in practice. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can look, my children can decide, you know, I'm your father, you're my father, but I'm not going to listen to you and I'm not going to give you that place in my life. That doesn't change the fact that I'm their father. They're just not allowing me that position in their life. God is always going to be our Father. But you know what? If he is going to treat us like a father treats us, we have to allow him to have that influence in our life. You see, when the son came and said, I want what is mine, I'm going to take off and I'm going to do my own thing, the father did not stop him. We're not robots. God doesn't force us to act like a good child. God wants us to do it out of a heart of love. But he gives us the option to do what we want. Not that it's right. Not that it's going to turn out right. But the best part of the story, when he came back, he said, you're not going to come back and just be like a hired servant. That'll never happen. You're my son. And that's a relationship that I want to have with you. Let me say this. How's your relationship with God today? You see, what happens is we forget how good our God really is. And children, you know, I've heard, you know, children when they're younger, they think they know more than their parents. You know when they figure out that their parents knew some things? When they start having children. It's like, hey, you know, I was listening to a radio program, and they were actually interviewing Wayne Gretzky. He goes, you know, when I was growing up, my dad didn't know anything, I thought. He goes, you know when I figured that out? When I was about 30. Like, you know what? My dad knew some things. Why don't we figure out that God knows what's best? Everything in our society tells us, you be the boss of your life. You be in control. Grab the bull by the horns, like next week when we grab that mechanical bull and kill ourselves. Take life. I'm going to take life by the horns and I'm going to go. Why don't we let God direct our lives? Why don't we realize that we have a heavenly Father that not only loves us, he wants to have a relationship for us, and he wants us to have joy. But that takes trust. Say, maybe you're struggling this morning. Say, you know, I've kind of got away, and God doesn't really have his rightful place in my life. Why don't you give it to him? Very simple. You just come back and say, you know what, Lord? Kind of strayed a little. By the way, there are times in our life, there are areas of our life we all kind of take a little detour. Sometimes we need to snap back and say, you know what, Lord? I've been kind of trying to do this over here by myself. I need to just snap back to where you're at. because that's where the joy comes from. Let's all stand together this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed.